Welcome to Natural News. I'm Kim McCurdy. Thanks for joining me. In the next half hour, I will be reading articles of interest from magazines like Mother Earth Living and Mother Earth News to help us live life a little more naturally, hopefully, and maybe a little more healthfully. Let's get started today with Mother Earth Living. This is the July-August 2019 issue of this magazine. And the article I have chosen is entitled Reconnecting Through Somatic Wisdom, an Introduction. Navigate the world of mind-body therapies and determine the best course of action for your health and well-being. This article is written by Marianne Foster. The field of mind-body therapies is large and complex, filled with many wonderful and effective options for healing and personal growth. Since the early 1980s, various techniques and approaches have developed. The staggering array of options, yoga, tai chi, rolfing, the Feldenkrais method, etc., may leave you overwhelmed when choosing the best path to healing. The goal of this feature and its companion articles in the next several issues is to introduce fundamental mind-body therapies, provide an overview of these modalities and their efficacy for various health conditions, and discuss how to make wise decisions when choosing a practitioner and rationing your healthcare budget. Marianne Foster has been a massage therapist, educator, and writer in this field since 1981. She specializes in anatomically based posture and movement efficiency lessons using a synergy of somatic patterning and therapeutic kinesiology. In 2004, she self-published Somatic Patterning, which gathers various theories, concepts, and principles about practices that address human movement and the combined neurological, physiological, psychological, and emotional components that inform bodily patterning, awareness, and change. This is the first of multiple articles about the wisdom of the body. Throughout this series, we hope you discover a practice to help you feel healthy and whole. Jean Denny. Over the years, I've worked with clients recovering from injuries or dealing with chronic musculoskeletal pain. Though these are both physical health issues, it takes a strong and focused inner connection with the body to heal these problems. Since the early 1980s, mind-body therapies have paved the way to help patients fully understand and overcome the roots of their physical obstacles. Defining the terms. Somatic has a biological definition, although it's used here in a different context. The term somatic comes from the Greek root soma, which means the living body in its wholeness. Here, I use the terms mind-body and somatics interchangeably. Somatics unifies the mind-body concept into a single word. The late philosopher and Feldenkrais teacher Thomas Hanna coined the term somatics in 1970 to describe an emerging field of mind-body therapies that employ directive touch and movement explorations as primary tools to improve posture and cultivate ease of movement. Hanna felt that most people have little body awareness and lack the ability to sense subtle movements within their bodies. He described this condition as sensory motor amnesia. If left unattended, sensory motor amnesia results in muscular imbalances, which become habituated responses that cause additional stress, pain, or injury. For most people, discomfort signals acute awareness, which then makes them pay attention to how their bodies are or aren't moving. Another common term used in this field is patterning. Patterning is such a natural process that it goes largely unnoticed. Physical patterns are the postures and gestures individuals habitually form in order to complete various physical tasks, getting in and out of the car or working at a computer, for example. People pattern themselves to avoid injuries, utilizing careful positioning before activities such as heavy lifting or sports performance. Patterning is always occurring, knowingly and unknowingly, because all activities pattern the body, whether or not they're consciously intended to do so. The body's wise and will pattern itself without your explicit permission. For example, a triathlete consciously trains his or her body to excel at endurance, speed, and agility, while a couch potato unconsciously trains his or her body to excel at detachment, immobility, and decline. Patterning is also a therapeutic skill widely used in movement therapies. In the patterning process, the movement teacher helps the client become more aware of faulty muscle patterns, helps the client relax overworked areas, and teaches the client easier movement pathways. The practitioner also provides both verbal and tactile cues to give feedback about how the client's muscles are working and to guide the movement along a smoother, more efficient pathway. The goal of patterning is to reduce mechanical stress on the muscles and joints by improving muscular firing patterns during simple movements that we use often, such as turning the head while sitting. Mind-body therapies in integrative medicine. Since I entered this field in 1990, there's been a huge increase in demand for mind-body therapies. Each year, millions of Americans use some form of mind-body therapy, considered a complementary or alternative medicine, CAM, by the National Institute of Health, NIH. In 1998, the U.S. Congress responded to the billions of out-of-pocket dollars spent on CAM therapies by mandating the creation of the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, NCCAM, at the NIH. This new department acts as the lead agency for researching CAM approaches, which includes a broad array of mind-body modalities such as massage, meditation, yoga, and acupuncture. Mind-body therapies are so widely used in modern medical care that they're now considered complementary and integrative rather than alternative because they address all aspects of health. For example, from 2012 to 2017, the popularity of yoga in the United States rose from 9.5% to 14.2%. In 2014, Congress changed the name from NCCAM to the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health, NCCIH, to reflect this growing market. Making the right choice. As healthcare becomes more specialized, patients need to visit a different doctor for each part of their body. As a result, it's easy to view the body as a collection of disconnected parts rather than a unified system. When choosing a mind-body therapy, the focus shifts from the parts to the whole, from treatment to prevention and well-being, and from turning yourself over to the doctor's expertise to taking charge of your health and being your own healthcare advocate. Regardless of the therapy and modality you choose, success depends on finding the right practitioner and teacher. Ultimately, you want a practitioner who works with you rather than on you, who empowers you to participate in the process, and who provides you with plenty of tools to help yourself. Many mind-body practitioners cross-train in several modalities, so a carefully chosen practitioner will have a lot to offer. Look for somebody who is credentialed, client-centered, experienced, and has a good reputation. If possible, read reviews to learn what results to expect and have a conversation over the phone to be sure your personalities are compatible. To get a better idea of this process, meet Henrietta, a fictitious middle-aged woman looking for relief from chronic muscular pain, stiffness, and fatigue, as well as mild depression, low self-esteem, and a collapsed zigzag posture. Henrietta knows she needs to work on many things, but she may not realize that the path to healing she chooses may be limited by how she perceives her problems. As you read about Henrietta's search, keep in mind that each modality she explores has a somatic and or a patterning component. Somatic tools will help Henrietta with body awareness, relaxation skills, and tension release, while patterning tools will help her improve muscular balance and ease of movement. Somatic movement therapies. Henrietta begins her search with a Feldenkrais method class because she heard it gives people pain relief and helps them move better. In a Feldenkrais movement lesson called Awareness Through Movement, she lies on the floor and practices a series of slow and easy exercises, such as pelvic tilts or spinal rotation, using minimum effort. By carefully observing herself as she moves, she can sense where her body where in her body she uses extraneous effort. This awareness alone helps her release muscular tension. Henrietta completes her first lesson feeling lighter, looser, and more in touch with her body. In a private Feldenkrais session, the practitioner has Henrietta lie on a massage table and passively moves her with a slow, relaxing quality. Again, the slow movement helps Henrietta feel where she is holding chronic tension, so she can release muscular holding in these areas and become more self-aware and relaxed when on her own. The Feldenkrais method is one of many somatic movement therapies. Others include Laban movement analysis, Alexander technique, body-mind centering, Rolfing, Aston kinetics, and many more. These modalities will be the focus of the next article in these series. Structural approaches. Henrietta might choose a structural approach and sign up for Rolfing structural integration sessions to get relief from chronic pain due to poor posture. Rolfing is a 10-step recipe with deep tissue body work to realign and balance the body's dynamic alignment with gravity. In this method, developed by yoga practitioner, biochemist, and physiologist Ida P. Rolf, the practitioner applies deep, slow pressure to the client's body to systematically unlock tension-holding patterns and muscles, with the goal of restoring vertical alignment and reorganizing what Rolf called random and chaotic muscle patterns that, left untreated over time, eventually cause chronic conditions. Many people compare Rolfing to peeling an onion. The practitioner releases restrictions in the outer layer of muscle sheathing, fascia, first, and then works toward the core, progressively loosening and stretching muscles and other soft tissue throughout the entire body. A Rolfing practitioner might be certified in Rolf movement integration and provide exercises for Henrietta to practice at home so that she can maintain the changes on her own. Cognitive therapy. Suppose Henrietta hears a critical inner voice telling her she'll never amount to anything, a message that deflates her self-esteem and in turn underlies her postural collapse. Many people internalize the negative messages they learned about themselves as children, then as adults unconsciously replay these messages in their minds. Eventually, the negative inner voices become core beliefs that perpetuate psychological distress and trigger muscular defenses, which in turn leads to any number of other stress-related physical problems, such as chronic pain or depression. To break out of this dysfunctional thinking pattern, Henrietta searches for a cognitive therapist. Cognitive therapy was developed by American psychiatrist Aaron Beck, who, after researching the thoughts of depressed patients, concluded that depression was caused by recurring negative thoughts that run through the mind like a personal mantra. Because of the intrinsic connection between brain and body, thoughts guide movement patterns as much as movement patterns guide thoughts. Today, cognitive therapists use cognitive restructuring techniques developed by Beck to teach clients how to replace negative self-talk with positive messages. During their sessions, a body-centered cognitive therapist would also ask Henrietta to notice what happens in her body as she substitutes a maladaptive thought with a healthy one. By making this connection between thoughts and bodily sensations and movements, Henrietta reconnects her body and mind, which may improve not only her confidence but also her posture, helping her stand taller and straighter. Meditation and progressive relaxation. If Henrietta feels that her body problems stem from stress caused by an outside source, such as work or family pressures, she might decide to learn relaxation skills. Meditation can help calm both the body and mind while improving sitting postures. There are many documented health benefits from regular meditation, including better body awareness and breathing, an ability to quiet mental chatter and manage stress more effectively, and reduce chronic pain from muscular guarding, which is a protective and automatic response in the muscles to shield an area in pain. Another technique that would help Henrietta is progressive relaxation. Psychiatrist Edmund Jacobson created this stress management technique after noticing that seriously ill bedridden patients were developing chronic muscular bracing from lying in bed worrying about their recovery prospects. To treat these patients, Jacobson had them sequentially contract and relax each muscle group in the body one at a time, with the goal of relaxing the entire body. The beauty of progressive relaxation, like meditation, is that a person can use it to release unconscious muscular tensions anywhere at any time, while traveling, before falling asleep at night, or even during a short break at work. Beginning the healing journey. Henrietta's journey illustrates how the body is like an apartment building with many floors and rooms, each representing a different part of ourselves. Main entrances open into body, mind, and emotion hallways, all filled with doors to many rooms. The lights are on in some and off in others. Ultimately, the more rooms Henrietta enters and the more light she turns on, the more nuggets of mind-body wisdom she uncovers and integrates into her state of being. There are many paths of mind-body healing, and we've just begun to explore the possibilities. The next two articles will discuss the founders of the field and the practitioners they educated who furthered ideas into new modalities available today. These discussions will inform your choice of somatic practice and practitioner to enhance well-being. Marianne Foster is a licensed massage therapist, somatic movement educator, and author of two seminal massage texts, Somatic Patterning from EMS Press 2004 and Therapeutic Kinesiology from Pearson Publishing 2013. She specializes in kinesiology-based classes for massage therapists and dancers that emphasize postural muscle training, body mechanics, and movement efficiency. The following is an inset little article, NCCIH Mind and Body Practices. The National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health, NCCIH, at the National Institutes of Health, NIH, has been researching complementary and integrative modalities since 1998. Complementary and integrative medicines encompass five categories: biological practices, such as dietary supplements and special diets; energy medicine, involving the use of energy fields believed to surround and infuse the human body; bodywork practices, involving manipulation or movement of the body; mind-body medicine, using techniques designed to enhance the mind's ability to affect bodily functions and symptoms; whole medical systems, including systems derived from other cultural paradigms, such as the ancient systems of traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine. Several mind-body practices ranked by NCCIH as among the top complementary health approaches include deep breathing, meditation, chiropractic and osteopathic manipulation, massage, yoga, progressive relaxation, and guided imagery. For more information, visit www.nccih.nih.gov. Let's switch into another publication. This is Mother Earth News, August-September 2019. This article is First-Hand Reports, Building a Dream Log Home. An industrious couple sold everything to move into the woods of Nova Scotia and pursue their dream of building an off-grid, solar-powered log home. The story is by Manuela Muller. Do you have a bucket list? We don't exactly, but we do have a lot of ideas that we just go for when the timing feels right. And sometimes our desires surprise us. We used to have everything one could ask for: great jobs, steady income, a nice home, a little vacation log cabin. We moved to Sweden in 2015, and we were in the middle of renovating the 100-year-old farm that we'd purchased, but something was missing. We found ourselves wanting a different living situation, and we knew we had to go after it if we didn't want to have regrets. Having lived in and seen a lot of places, we knew Nova Scotia was where we wanted to settle. We found our dream property online. My husband, Frank, flew to Nova Scotia for a weekend to see it. And when he called me, he said the property was just a woodlot in the middle of nowhere, but that the lake looked nice and no other people were out there. In short, this was the perfect place for what we were planning, to build our own log home from start to finish. So we bought the property, sold our farm in Sweden, and packed a container. And then the three of us, me, Frank, and our bull mastiff, Emmy, started off on a new adventure. Now we're sitting here in the middle of the woods on a beautiful little lake, almost 2 miles from the next official gravel road, all by ourselves and taking on the challenge of building our dream home and living off the grid. Living off-grid wasn't our original intention, but when we got a quote from the local power company, which told us it would charge us at least $180,000 to hook us up, we knew going solar was a no-brainer. Sometimes when you start a project like this, it's good not to know everything you're getting yourself into. We arrived in Nova Scotia at the end of August 2016, and the first thing we had to do was find a temporary place to live. We ended up with a camper that we parked on the road until someone cut in a driveway. We also needed to determine where to clear the land for building and where to site our solar system. Not an easy decision when you don't have a clue how things will look before you take down trees. We knew we wanted to be close to the water, and because of all the rocks and boulders, we decided to place the solar system higher up, on a platform we created while excavating. One thing we had to acquire right away were trees for building our log home. We needed them before winter, so we could debark them before the bugs came out in spring and burrowed into the bark of the freshly cut trees. Removing bark in winter is tough, but we found a chainsaw debarker, which made the task a lot easier. We decided to take red pine, but we had to search long and hard before we found trees with a necessary length of 50 feet. Frank spent 5 days cutting and debranching 46 trees, and then friends of ours with logging trucks and equipment pitched in to help us get them to the property. This was also difficult. While we do have a right-of-way to get our property, that road is a dirt path only accessible with a pickup truck. Anything bigger than that has to come up over an old, steep gravel road through a quarry. But it worked out. In the meantime, we built a shed from scratch for our wood, and we also constructed a 50-foot shed for all our belongings. We were in a bit of a rush to get as much done as possible before winter came, getting in a septic system, drilling the well, and building the foundation for the house. To prepare for cold weather, we started winterizing the camper. This didn't work out as planned, and despite heating cables, all the camper's tanks and pipes froze up during the first winter storm in mid-December. So we had to switch to Plan B, shut down the camper, and move our necessities into the unfinished house. We're now living in the house and have made it as comfortable as we can, and while the move didn't go the way we planned, that seems to be our standard, and we always make do with the ups and downs of living off-grid. Doing almost everything ourselves and working with old equipment was challenging, especially because we were on a tight budget and wanted to build a debt-free home, but we wouldn't have done anything differently. We didn't want to get a mortgage, so some things we still want will have to wait. People have asked a lot about our project and what to consider when going off-grid, so we started a blog to document the progress and pitfalls of pursuing our dream. It's prompted other people to step out of the box and go for it too. So now we try to help those individuals find properties, assist with immigration, and consult on questions about buildings. We also still pursue our hobbies, building log furniture and creating wooden crafts that I sell at local craft fairs. And above all, we try to live true to our motto, enjoy life. It's too short to waste a minute. You can follow Manuela and Frank Muller online at www.restless-roots.com or connect with them on Facebook at Restless Roots Nova Scotia, Canada. Share your story. If you or people you know are living an impressive homestead life, send the story and a few related photos to letters@MotherEarthNews.com with the subject line, Firsthand Reports. Staying in the same publication, there is an article that's called Them That's Doin'. Mother's 50th anniversary is on the horizon, so we're hearkening back to our roots. Longtime readers will recall our Report from Them That's Doin', a department featuring homesteaders living their best lives. We're reviving this column to mark our upcoming anniversary with news on what we're learning, who's inspiring us, and much more. We want to know what's captured your interest, too. Have you discovered a handy tool or built a project for your property? Read a great book or tried a new app? Attended an interesting event or experimented with an innovative gardening technique? Tell us at letters@MotherEarthNews.com. In the meantime, here's what we've been doing. Observational sketches. Whether the weather is hot or cold, I find time to solo hike in my area. My favorite thing is to bring along my notebook and practice observational sketching and journaling while outside. I love how solo hiking has been teaching me about solitude, confidence, the local environment, and finding joy in nature. Jessica Mitchell, editor. Primitive skills. I just got back from the Roots School, www.rootsvt.com, and a week's immersion in the world of primitive skills enthusiasts, people who are interested in the technologies and knowledge of Stone Age cultures, and in connecting with and supporting indigenous people's understanding of the environment. Much of this information is maintained and passed down orally rather than being written down. I focused on how each task and tool felt in my hands to understand information that's mostly tactile. Caitlin Wilson, editor. Bird barriers for berries. Birds decimate my blackberry and strawberry crops if I don't cover them, so I'm happy to have discovered bird netting by Berry Hill Drip Irrigation. You can see them at www.berryhilldrip.com. Berry Hill's high-density polyethylene net rolls and unrolls easily, and I've been using mine for years. Now I don't have to share a bumper crop of berries with the birds. Rebecca Martin, editor. Plying plies. I've been spinning yarn for a long time, but I'm currently working to master a specific technique of plying yarn, twisting together several single threads. Chain plying lets you start with a single spun thread and end up with a three-ply yarn. The spinning technique uses a manual version of a crochet chain stitch. I'm enjoying the heck out of playing with this. Carla Tilgman, editor. Birth training. I recently attended a course to become a trained birth doula, someone who offers support to women and families during pregnancy, labor, and the postpartum period. To learn more about doulas, visit the Doulas of North America website at www.dona.org. Jordan Carley, editorial intern. What have you been doing? Tell us what you've been up to at letters@MotherEarthNews.com and include "them that's doing" in the subject line. You may end up in the magazine. And just a minute left. We'll read one quick Dear Mother letter. Mother as Muse. We began our journey with Mother Earth News in the mid-1970s. Mother's most significant impact came when we built our house in 1979. Through the magazine, we learned of the potential for energy savings and alternative energy generation systems before many options were commercially available. Accordingly, we built our home in a sunny location with roof pitches, directional orientation, and an architectural design suited to adapting to various technologies that weren't yet affordable. Over the years, we've easily converted to passive solar heating, solar hot water, and electrical generation through solar panels as those technologies become viable. In addition to these alterations, we've also tried to improve our home's efficiency by upgrading our windows and insulation, as well as installing a geothermal heating and cooling system. Because of these changes, our annual utility costs are less than 20% of the utility costs of comparable residents in our area. That was written by Dennis Rader of Green Bay, Wisconsin. And that's all the time we have. You've been listening to Natural News. As always, I'm Kim McCurdy, and thanks for listening.